Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with the one and only J.B. Smoove, who's coming to Warner Theater here in D.C. this Friday at 8 p.m. Thanks so much for joining us, man.
Man, good to be here, man. Good talking to you, man. I can't wait to come to D.C. It's been absolutely a minute since I've been back there. I haven't been back there since the new administration. I haven't been back there since... It's been a minute. You know, I don't think I've been there since they had the new Martin Luther King statue. I haven't seen anything, so I need somebody to show me around for myself because I'm missing D.C., and I got to catch up to what's happening. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we can't wait for you to get here. I definitely don't want to, whenever I interview comedians, I definitely don't want to spoil any of your specific punchlines or anything like that. But could you at least give us an idea of, you know, what topics or areas you might explore in your routine?
You know what? I'm a wild card. So I tend to cater my show to my audience. I use my ears as much as my mouth. So I like to know, you know, go where my audience takes me at. You know, I like to entertain myself as well as the audience. And I like to improvise, of course, for all those fans out there who are big-time Kirby Enthusiasm fans. It's going to be a little bit of everything I've ever done. It's going to be a little bit of sound effects, animation. It's going to be some Leon in there from Curb. It's going to be some Lonnie McClay from Almost Christmas. It's going to be some J.B. Smoove from Real Husbands of Hollywood. Anything and everything I have done, I incorporate into my show. And those folks in D.C. who love me and who have seen my show and supported me, you are going to love. It's going to be great to connect with you guys again. And I'm looking forward to a fabulous show at the Warner Theater. You know, this officially kicks off my lollygagging tour, which is absolutely fabulous. That I'm stopping in D.C. first for the official lollygagging tour, which is going to be a fabulous celebration. Who knows? I might even bring some Crown Royal, because I am the Crown Royal Vanilla Man. So maybe I'll bring some shots of Crown Royal to get the party started. Who knows?
I love it. Why'd you call it lollygagging? Explain to our listeners why it's a lollygagging tour.
You know what I like about the word lollygagging is? Because you're just like mindlessly moving and taking a break from the mundane world that we live in right now. And why not live a day and just lollygag it out? Just like live in the moment for a little while. Live in the moment. You know, don't over lollygag, because there's a possibility that when you lollygag, you're not paying attention too much of what's going on around you. You're kind of in your own world. You're chasing butterflies. You're chasing damn butterflies. That's what I tell you. you're letting somebody's dog lick you in the face that you don't know. You know, you're doing things that allow you to just take a break mentally. And why not lollygag a little bit? Lollygag's probably on the same level as lamping. It's somewhere in that realm. But lamping is total relaxation and chilling, and lollygagging is just free of mind, free spirit, free mind. That's why I chose lollygagging. And it looked damn good on a T-shirt. You always want to get things that look great on a T-shirt.
Exactly. I like that. Lamping, lollygagging, that's all in that same range, that spectrum.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Man, so it's great.
You mentioned a bunch of the shows I want to ask you about, you know, some of your more famous roles. But take me back to the very beginning. You're born in North Carolina, but raised in Mount Vernon, New York, right? Who was your comedy icons growing up, or even if it wasn't comedy, actors? You know, who was it that was like the guy or girl for you?
Oh man, for me, I loved a range of comedians. You know who really got me? Although I love Pryor, I love Fox. Red Fox, I love Cosby. All these are influences that I had coming up, but I also loved Peter Sellers.
Yeah.
Peter Sellers was like gold to me. George Carlin, gold to me. All those icons I just named, Peter Sellers, Pryor, Red Fox, Cosby, all these people are influences that I'm sure every comic has had some influence on their career. And you can't, you know, and I always say, you know, you are a product of your influence as far as who you listen to, who motivates you to get on stage. But I will say this much. As much as I love stand-up and I love comedy and I love sitting there playing my prior albums, I think the turn really came when I really started like going to the video store and renting VHSs of all the comics that I love. And I studied George Carlin probably the most. I found him to be, you know, his thinking was so out of the box that he captured me, you know. And as far as TV and film, I just fell in love with Peter Sellers. I love physical comedy, and I love Pink Panther. I love that movie, The Party, and all that good stuff. But I'm also influenced by music. I'm influenced by positivity. There's so many things that influence my mind and my thinking that I can't even name one person or one thing that in particular that kind of shaped me. But I will say that all those influences, music-wise, it's Marvin Gaye. Sports, you know, it's boxing, Ali and Tyson, and you know Tyson for his aggressiveness, Ali for his swift feet, and the rope-a-dope. You know, the rope-a-dope comes in handy because, you know, how many times we've all been on the ropes and we had to like box, take a few blows and box ourselves out of any situation. Anything and everything, man, can influence you, man, influence your kids. And I think we all have to have some kind of motivation to keep us moving and keep us going and keep us going towards our goal, which is to create a brand and something that people love to see. And I always call it working on your golf swing.
Right. It's a good analogy.
It's a good analogy. Once you figure out how to hit that ball straight, all you got to do is keep repeating it over and over again, you know, in any situation. You want a chip shot. You want to get out the sand. Everybody got stuck in the sand before, you know. Sometimes you get stuck in the sand. You gotta use a certain club to get out of the sand. You gotta use a pitching wedge sometimes. Sometimes you gotta just loop the ball up sometimes, you know? And that's what life is all about to me, learning that damn golf swing so you can repeat it every damn time.
I love it.
Know? Well, but also be able to get yourself out of trouble and also, you know, I always consider myself a guy who's always trying to evolve, always trying to learn. So I always say I don't know it all, but I love the challenge of figuring things out, you know, jumping over these bumps in the road and be resilient in whatever you do, you know?
Absolutely. I'm going to follow that your perfect the golf swing analogy and ask you this.
Right.
I'm going to ask you this next one this way. Along with that golf analogy, who would you say once you moved out to LA late 90s, and you were doing MTV's The Lyricist Lounge Show, you got on Chris Rock's show, Premium Blend, all those early big breaks for you.
Yeah.
Who was your let's say golf instructor, your caddy, your earliest mentor that helped you perfect that swing early on when you first broke in?
Oh man, I watched Pace. Chris Rock to me was the ultimate as far as pace. And. And he was like a machine gun to me. And he had this pace, this mindset of, you know, he's got this sniper on you, and he's just like, bam, 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 repeatedly just going straight forward. And his rhythm, his style, his writing skills, his mind is something that I found to be amazing. Although we're not far apart in age, but we're further apart as far as career. But his style, I always watch, you know, I always say that you can't learn anything from someone who's the same age as you, you know, or the same. And I use age as age. I use age as experience. I use age as your presence. All those things to me matter when you start to figure out what you want to do and how you want to make it work for you. So I always try to keep my mind open as to what makes it go, and I think that's very important as far as stand up and being motivated to do what you do, you know. But I think back then it was definitely the cats around me who were doing their thing. You know, and but the cool thing about it is we all became fans of each other, which helps a lot, you know, because I was even flown out to L.A. for it and Live in Color. There's so many things that I had to stop and look at my journey and the things that I've accomplished, and I just got to add it all up and say, wow, you know, I use this one phrase all the time. I always say, you know, plan your destination, improvise your journey. You know, because there's more than one way to get where you got to go.
Right.
I never try to repeat what's already been done already. I always try to use other skills to make it happen. Coming early, staying late, being attentive to listening more to what people are saying, getting myself in certain circles with certain people, networking, all those things play a part in, which is old school way, which is different from the speed and the pace today when you have the social media, YouTube, you got more at your disposal now than you had back then. Back then, I would go on a road for 2 weeks straight driving from New York to Florida to Miami, stopping all the way, 10 different cities on the way back to New York. It was a whole different way of doing things back then, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Different times, for sure.
I'm 30 years in. Yeah, I'm 30 years in. Which is weird to say because I still feel like I'm, you know, always call myself old school new. So that's kind of my thing. So I like to always be where I need to be at. And I think I planted a lot of seeds. And the more seeds you plant, it's kind of like how they recreate the forest when they cut trees down.
Right.
When they cut a tree down, they got to plant more trees. And that's what I always do. As I accomplish something, I plant more seeds. So my phone rings, whether it's a month later, 2 years later, 5 years later, 10 years later, my phone always rings because I always plant those seeds for later.
Absolutely. You never know which one of those seeds is gonna, you know, grow and then get you the next gig.
It's damn right.
A smart move.
Damn
I wanna
right.
Tell me more. I wanna know more about your first big movie, Pootie Tang, with Louis C.K. and Chris Rock. Do you still, I know you were like narrating and acting it, do you have a scene that all these years later, God, that's like 18 years old? That's hard to believe. Do you have a scene that all these years later, you still watch it, still breaks you up?
Oh, yeah, man. Pootie Tang. I love the scene of Pootie Tang in the music studio when he's recording his song About Nothing. And, you know, he's singing, and you know, and my line was, Pootie don't need no words. Pootie don't need no music to make a hit song. And I found that to be the most ridiculous, silliest thing ever, that this man was saying nothing, and people loved it. And I found that to be one of the funniest scenes. I love that one and me going to the farm with Pootie and realizing that the farm life was not for me.
How about Mr. Deeds working with Sandler? Any good behind the scenes, you know, on set stories with that dude? That dude's hilarious.
When I got on that movie set, man, that was the first big movie, you know, nationally, you know, released movie. And that one, oh man, you know, I was impressed with, I mean, I was happy being on set and working with Adam, but man, the lunch, man, when I walked to that craft table and I saw all them damn lobsters, I said, man, this man don't have to live. I said, man, I know I'm on a set with all these stars, but look at them damn lobsters, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. You can judge a set by its craft services.
You can judge it by the craft services, man. That's what I knew. I'm about to hit the big time when I saw them damn lobsters, man.
Absolutely. And then from there, I know a lot of our listeners have seen a lot of your stuff. They might not even know some of the, you know, you wrote a lot of the sketch comedy for, you know, Cedric the Entertainer show. And then, of course, SNL for like 3 or 4 years there. What was your, do you have a favorite sketch you wrote for SNL while you were there or helped write?
Man, I got so many sketches, man, that never made it that are considered legendary right now. Come on. The Urine Detective. Urine Detective, Butt Pregnant, so many amazing ones. Well, you know what? Butt Pregnant did make it. But what's another one? The all day cigarette. The guy who used to work in a bank counting money as a teller, and he got a job at Subway, and he makes sandwiches, but he can't stop licking his finger to put the meat on your bread. So many amazing damn sketches that never made it. I wrote one for Tom Brady, where he was the first man to slap another player on the butt after a good play in the 30s. And nobody understood why he kept hitting him on the butt after a good play. He was the only player to be traded to every team in the NFL. So many amazing sketches, man, that never made it. That one never made it. Classic, though. People bring it up all the time. Classics that never made it. But, you know, these are all building blocks, man, you know. I worked at SNL for 3 seasons, and it was all building blocks, man. You take it, you put it in your resume, you know, it opens doors for you later, and you just kind of keep building on whatever you want to do in life.
I love it. And then, of course, you mentioned it earlier. We can't let you run before we ask you about Curb Your Enthusiasm. Of course, Leon, I mean, that might be what most people probably know you from that. Just take us behind the scenes of, you know, what is the genius of Larry David? We know, you know, him and Jerry created an all-timer in Seinfeld, but Curb almost was, it just felt, it was that raw, gritty, you know, shaky cam sort of idea. It just felt so organic and, you know, I don't know, just working with Larry, what was his secret?
Man, I was a big fan of the show before I got on the show. So for me, it was this thing of, man, I would love to be on this show one day, man. And I had the opportunity, the blessed opportunity to get on the show, man. And it was like a match made in heaven. You know, you got a comedian who loves to improvise. You know, the first thing I ever did before I started doing stand-up was I took an improv class at the old Improv Comedy Club in New York, which after that summer, it closed down. Right after my improv class I took that summer, that club closed down. So I was so happy I got a chance to work with one of the legends, Marty Friedman from SCTV. Got a chance to work with him, and who's a really good friend of Lorne Michaels, and all these things, all these little things that end up, you know, you take something like that, and that was early 90s. I took that class, and I put that tool in my toolbox, and years later, you know, I end up on a show like Curb Your Enthusiasm. So Larry is an amazing, amazing, amazing writer. And what he did for me was being a part of a show like that, which is improvised, it allowed you to open up your mind. And Larry just puts you in these amazing situations where you get a chance to improvise with him directly, improvise with amazing actors, be a part of a show that has no script. So what you see is this amazing collage of amazing actors who get together, and everything is improvised. The show is amazing. This is, we're going into our 10th season now. I came in season 6. So this is my 5th season being a part of the show, and I'm so happy that I got a chance to be on my favorite show.
How exactly does that work? I mean, we've all known that, you know, a lot of it's highly improvised. Do you just enter, like, each episode, is it just sort of an outline of, you know, this is generally what happens, and then within the scene, you're just improvising the dialogue? Or how many bare bones outline is there for each episode?
That's exactly, it's like probably an 8 to 10 page outline of what the episode's about. And all the little details and nuances is stuff that you do from your dialogue. Unless it's something very specific that Larry needs to, like, stitch together an episode, everything else is improvised. So that's how it works.
Yeah, and
so it's based on an outline. It's really challenging, but if you love when you improvise, it really relies on you listening just as much as you are speaking. So, you know, like when I'm in a scene with Larry, I got to make a conscious decision sometimes. If he comes up with something crazy, I got to decide in that moment if I want to have his back or if I want to go against him. So I try to figure out what's the funniest thing to do. You know, I'm going to get the most meat out of if I'm going to have his back or if I'm going to go against him. So that's when you see the arguments, you know, and all the fun stuff, you know, and that's what all that's created from.
Absolutely. Well, I got to say, and we'll, last one, and we'll let you run. You've been generous with your time, but I got to say, I mean, you're probably one of the most ubiquitous actors that's out there. You pop up in literally everything. When I said that we were interviewing you, everyone, and showed your picture, everyone's like, oh, he was in this, he was in that, he was in Last Comic Standing, he was in Date Night, he was in Top 5, he was in, you know, like, it's, you could rattle off a list of everything, so many things that you've been in, and I think that's a testament to what you were saying about how you plant all those seeds, you know. I think that's what you're talking about. But just the one I saw you recently in, I want to hear about your experience working on Fresh Off the Boat. My wife and I, we love that show, so she was excited that I was talking to you because she remembered you from that. But what was it like working on that one?
Oh, so amazing, man. Randall Park is like my dude, man. That show is so fun to be a part of. Ali Wong, who's also one of the producers and writers on the show. These are all people who we've all worked together, and you end up places where you end up working with great people. But I think when you create a body of work and they know what they're getting, you come in free of mind. They allow you to do what you do. And that's what almost every show you see me guest star on. They kind of know what they want. And they give me the liberty of improvising and having fun. Because, I mean, why bring me to any show as a guest and handcuff me and not allow me to create something for the character? And I love that they allow me to make the character my own. And, you know, and that's the fun thing about, that goes right back to planting those seeds, man. You know, from me appearing on New Girl, me appearing on, you know, Fresh Off the Boat, me appearing on Life in Pieces. These are all amazing shows that I got a chance to be a part of and be a reoccurring character on outside of my own stuff. So, and you're right, man. You know, if one day I really sat down one day and I started looking at my own IMDb, and I was like, wow, you know, I'm really happy that it's not just me happy, you know, about being a successful actor. It's really about me continuing to build these blocks and inspire young actors, inspire young people from my main heart, the Boys and Girls Club of America. This is all very important because it just shows that hard work, you know, being committed to something you really love to do and making it happen, no matter how long it takes to do it. I mean, I'm not an A-list actor, but I'm very satisfied with my movement. You know, I didn't step on toes. I didn't burn bridges. I just worked hard, and I'm willing to take stumbles here and there. Sometimes you need a stumble here and there to clear your mind. You have to understand what people love about you and what they don't like about you to understand your product and to make your product better, you know. And I think that's very important, you know, as far as a life of a comedian, life of an actor, life of a producer, director. You have to know your brand and what you bring to the table. And that's why you see me on so many commercials, so many TV shows, so many guest starring roles, so many movies, you know, so many things that I love to be a part of. And I think that's very important.
Well, you're A-list in our book, man. Or you have your own list. You're JB list.
I'm a JB list, man. Two letters.
All right. Well, we can't wait until those two letters lollygag into Warner Theater this Friday at 8 p.m. So, you know, get your tickets. You still got time. Thanks so much, JB Smooth. We really appreciate it. You've been great.
Hey, man. I appreciate it, man. I can't wait to see everybody tomorrow night. Friday night. It's going to be amazing.
All right. Sounds good. Take care. We'll see you out there.
Later.